Good evening. It's truly a blessing to be back here tonight, to have the chance to worship with one another and study God's Word. It's also good to be back in the same continent, the same United States as you guys. We had an excellent time in Aruba. We did a lot of excellent work of presenting the Word of God to people, that we had a chance to have 27 different Bible studies with a group of 9 people that we had go. We studied with 20 different students. So some of them were multiple studies that we had with them. 2 people rededicated themselves back to God and made a change in their life, and then 2 people had the chance to become children of God and were baptized into His name. So it was definitely a successful trip, and we're going to have a presentation later on this, but I did want to go ahead and tell you that. And I know that our guys were exhausted. A lot of them headed home to spend a little bit of time with their family since we spent spring break in Aruba. They wanted to go see their family and give them an update. They were tired, and we did a lot of work, passed out 1,200 flyers that we printed here and also had more. So it was a great week, and we're going to share some more time with that later on, and I'll get all the guys up here, and they'll talk about their experiences in different parts, but I did want to share that with you. Also wanted to say once again that the college group would love to host the Hilltoppers and Silver Threads and the Spring Chicken Banquet, the same thing we did last year, just with a different style, different flavor to it. There's sign-up sheets in each one of the foyers. You can find them pretty quick. They're colorful. So if you don't mind, go ahead and sign up on there so we know how many people to provide food for. Before we head into our lesson tonight, let's go ahead and offer a word of prayer. Well, Lord our God, we come before you tonight giving you thanks and glory and honor just for being our God, being the creator of this world and of ourselves, that we can come to know you. And Father, we ask that you'll be with us as we go into this time of study. So we look into your word and the things that you have told us that we need to do, that we'll write them on the tablet of our hearts. And we won't be in opposition to you, but we'll see what you command of our lives and that we'll gladly do it because we love you. God, we know what true love is because you're willing to send your son to this world to die for us. Father, be with us in this time. We lift this prayer to you, your son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Like I said, I don't want to give away a lot of the things that we did on the trip because I want to leave that so we can have some pictures with it. But I did want to share with you a couple of the Bible studies that I had the chance to be a part of. Friday, I had the chance to baptize our new sister in the Christ, Melanie. Shelby and I, we studied with her 3 different times along with her boyfriend, Isaiah, and he dedicated himself to God. And it was some great studies and great conversations we had with them. And I want to share with you just a little bit of what we discussed. And also another Bible study that we had with a guy named Michael. And he was with his girlfriend, Vivian. And I just want to share a couple of different perspectives from each one of those. And maybe some things that we can just take in our lives and the way that we interact with one another and how we have Bible studies. Like I said, I had the chance to study with Melanie. Her and Isaiah, and they knew another guy that was a member of the church at San Nicolas. And they said they wanted to study the Bible. So we met downtown. It was a 30-minute drive, and we had to go through traffic. But every night when we were done with the gospel meeting, no matter how late it was, when Andrew Gifford spoke one night, he went for 1 hour and 15 minutes. So even after that, you see that we had some long nights along with some great singing. And although exhausted from the sun, as you can tell by our face and the sunburn, that we were still able to go and study with them. And they had long days of work. And we sat down and had the chance to study the Word of God. And I keep pinpointing on Melanie because I'm just really excited about her and really proud of her. The more that we studied with her, you could just see that all the things were clicking. In our last night of study that we had with her Thursday, we were just kind of just chatting a little bit afterwards when she decided that she wanted to become a Christian. I said, you know, what was it that really clicked in your mind that you wanted to do this? She said, you know, I saw what kind of life I was living. I saw the sin that I was in, and I didn't want to have any part of it anymore. She said, and I said, you know, what about the Bible study? How was that? And she said, you know, we have a lot of different religions, a lot of different groups that come down to Aruba. She said, you know, there's buildings all over the place and different groups that come in and walk the streets. And we had that experience 2 years ago when we were door knocking and there was another religious group right in front of us knocking the same doors. And you see how much the area is littered with people bringing the Word of God. And she said, but y'all did something different. You showed the Scripture. She said, there wasn't anything that y'all said that was not found in Scripture. And she said, that's what I needed. She said, based on that, said, I need to become a Christian. I was like, well, wow, that's simple enough. You know, and here she is, a young girl, 18 years old, that wanted to follow God. But it's in contrast to another man. his name Michael. As we came across their house, Shelby and Derek actually walked up there when I was at another house, and Vivian came to the door. She's a fallen away member of the church. And so we were going to set up a study with her and try and bring her back. And her boyfriend was there and said that he would like to study too. So we came back the next day and discussed with him. A small world, he actually came to school at UAB, spent some time there. And he said, "You're from Alabama." I said, "Yeah, I live in Montgomery." He said, "Oh, the Gump." And I was like, wow, he knows all the places around here. And so we had a good conversation, and the Bible study really geared more towards him. He said that he spent time at UAB, and he said, "You know, I did the whole Christian thing." He said, "You know, I had been in church, and I knew all that kind of stuff." But he said, I began to travel around. I began to talk to a lot of different people. He even spent some time over in Europe, and he said, "You know, it's weird that I spent that time in Europe, and I went and talked to different people," and he says, "I found a lot of good people in the world." He said, they weren't doing bad things. They weren't doing sinful things. They were living a good life. He said, they were actually living a better life than most of the Christians I know. He said, I was there. He said, I was a part of the Christian community, so to say, and he said, I saw people that didn't even know God that lived better lives than Christians. He said, so what do you really have to offer to us? And as we began to study with him more and more, you saw that a very educated man just couldn't grasp certain things about the Scripture. And I want to look at those two perspectives, from Melanie's point of view and from Michael's point of view. A child that decided that I want to serve God and I'm willing to do whatever He tells me to do. And a man that we need to continue praying for, along with the other ones that we had studies with. A man that says, I don't want to do the will of God. There are people that's kind of ruined it for me. There's situations that have bothered him, and he started talking about the Word of God becoming a box to him. He says, you know, why does God give so many different rules and regulations and this and that? And he says, why don't I want to be a part of that? And you could see a lot of force coming from it. Maybe a vendetta, maybe something against the Word of God, and we really didn't get to the root of it. He was very polite. He never turned us down. And we had a great conversation, went for an hour or more. Very polite, but you could see him still opposing God. And I just want to present a couple of scriptures to you tonight. Some different perspectives that I had from these Bible studies. And like I said, I encourage you to keep praying for all the ones that we've studied. The study with, the ones that became Christians, the one that rededicated themselves, but also the ones that the seed of God was planted within them, that they may know God better. I'm going to begin in Ephesians. I guess the biggest burden that we have as ministers and people that get up here and present Scripture is to narrow it down. And there's so many things that I would love to talk about. All these Bible studies that I had, we had three different Bible studies with Melanie and Isaiah, late at night, an hour and a half with each one of them. I wish I could present to you everything that we studied just because it's exciting. Just to sit there and just read the Word of God and see people just open up to it. And I know the ones that went on the trip, some that aren't here right now, but the ones that are, that they can say the same thing. There's so many different things that are presented in those lessons that we could talk about. And I mean, we spent hours in each one of these studies with people. And so the biggest burden we have as ministers and speakers, and I know from my perspective, is to narrow it down. And I'm going to try and do that as much as possible to show you some of the things that we studied and how can we be better children of God. How can we take the things that that Melanie was able to do, and maybe Michael had some problems with, that hopefully he'll open up to and learn some more about them. Like I said, I'm in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to start reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And this is just building up to one of the points that I want to make, but Paul makes a better argument than I do, so I'm just going to let him speak. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him in the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all the rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet, gave Him as the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." First of all, it's because of Christ. If we're going to do anything in this world, it's because of Christ. Us Christians, we have a lot to live for. We've got all of eternity waiting for us. And it's because Christ did it first. And every one of the letters and every chance that Paul got, he always presented it is because of Christ. If Christ was able to come to this world and overcome it, we can too. If Christ was able to do all these great things, he says we can follow in his steps. And you see, that's what our Christian lives represent. Just the name alone, Christian, which means Christ-like. He said that's the kind of characteristics, that's the kind of things we need to implement in our lives all the way up until the point of death. Every action that we do should be based off of Christ. And Paul does a good job of reminding them. And I guess one of the things we can look at are we doing the same thing? Are we reminding people about Christ? And he builds up here and he says, think about all the things Christ did for us. Think about the power that is found in him, that he came to this world and he died, but he just didn't stay in the grave, that he rose. And he's seated at the right hand of God, and everything else falls from there. He says he is the ruler of all things. And you look to him first. And then begins chapter 2. Sometimes I don't like the heading breaks that are in here because it kind of throws off from the full story, and you separate them out in your mind. But think about Paul building up to this, and he says, and you were dead in your trespasses. And it's kind of like Christ is over here doing all these great things, and he says, and you were dead in your sins. This is the life that Christ was living, and this is where you were found. And that's the story with people that are lost. Christ has done so much. He has accomplished so much in his span of life that he was here, and also what he is doing all throughout all of eternity, that we can have life through him. And it's like you pan over here and you see one side and you see what Christ is doing. You see us as Christians following in that same line, trying to do the same thing that he's doing. And he says, do you remember where you came from? Remember that you were lost in your sins. Remember that you are over here. You were on this side. And I always try and remind us, and I have to do it to myself, remember where we came from. So Paul says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And once you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. The thing that I see that really stops people from serving God is their own selves. If we don't want to listen to the word of God, we would rather do something ourselves. And we are in direct opposition in fighting against God's will. Like I said, you look at Melanie, a great example of somebody that wants to do the will of God. She sees what the scriptures say. And she said, you know, I read them myself. She said, you weren't coming up with some new interpretation. You know, she said it was simple. We studied with them the first night, and we did these, we have these booklets that David Baker has been working on and some of the other men that are great. And I gave her one and Isaiah one. And I said, will you go home and study these? They came back the next time, had it all filled out. She had just pages of notes that she wrote out herself. They just couldn't get enough information. They were just soaking in, her and her boyfriend both. They were loving it. They wanted to be a part of it. And you see somebody that has that simple mind of, I just want to do what God tells me to do. Nothing fancy. There's nothing special. What does God tell me to do? I just want to accomplish that in my life. Can I do it more? What else you got? What else is he telling me to do? I love it. I want to know more. And there's not enough. Yet on the other side, you have a man that's sitting here saying, why is God telling me to do so much? What's wrong with that picture? How is it that somebody can say, I need to know more? What else is he telling me? And they get excited about it. Yet somebody on the other side is saying, it's too much. Yet it's the same word. It's the same God, the same Christ, the same instructions. Why are they different? And I think Paul does it here. He says, who are you following? He says, if you've set your mind on the flesh, if you've set your mind on things of this world, he said, you're never going to get along with God. God doesn't belong here. Christ didn't belong here. That's why he rose from it. He said he overcame the world because he wasn't part of the world. He was here and he was among it, but he was not part of it. He didn't do the things of this world. He says, you don't do the same thing. You do the same thing. Don't be a part of it. Be something different. And one of the verses that I encouraged them with when I was first studying was 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 9, these are familiar verses to you. I'm not presenting anything that you don't know, something that you haven't read before, but just showing you what I study with them and just letting the scripture speak for itself tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, start reading in verse 9. As we were sitting there studying, say, do you know what sin is? And we had a language barrier. The people in Aruba are educated. They are very smart, and they make me feel inferior because they know four languages when they graduate from high school. I barely know English. I'm having problems with it as I'm speaking now. And so they have some problems where we are trying to talk, trying to describe certain things in the Bible, and then they would start speaking in their own native language, and I just assumed they were trying to get it right, and they were talking, and I'm like, well, I wish I could help you, but I don't know. And there was a couple of problems, but we were dealing with the word sin. What does it mean? And Isaiah spoke up, and he had a little bit harder time. He said, it's doing bad things. A very simple concept. When you think about it, bad things, well, what does that mean? He says, well, if God tells us this is the way that we should be living, and we go over here and we do something else, he says, it's evil. It's not part of God. It's bad. A simple perspective on what God is telling us. He's saying that, yeah, sin is the bad stuff, the thing that we don't need to associate with. And we can look at a lot of different things, but look at what Paul says here. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And I gave him this just to give him a description of some of these, and he's like, yeah, but there's more. And, you know, when we talked about it, he said, it's just the concept behind it of what is evil and what is good. And I shared these verses with him, but you look at the following verse, and such were some of you. It's what Paul is saying back in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, remember when you live this kind of life, when you become a Christian, when you're a new creation, you put these things to the side. He says, you no longer live for yourself. You read through this list, it's all how to benefit our own flesh and our own mind. It's things that are very selfish. It's self-centered. But somebody that wants to serve God, it's a simple concept. You put God first, and you put yourself last. It's easy. But you see people that are in opposition. You see a man like Mike that is standing here and saying, God is telling me too much. Why can't I enjoy the pleasures of the flesh? Why can't I enjoy the fruits of sin? And he says, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. And I just don't understand why. I appreciate John reading Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Romans chapter 8. You see in verse 1, it says that there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not separated as long as we have Christ, but you go on, you read from there. And I'm just going to start reading in verse 5, as he's already read the first 4. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. It says you got two perspectives. You can live for yourself, or you can live for God. Somebody that stands here and says that all the rules and regulations of God, he tells me to do too much. Where do you think his perspective is? And it applies to us. And I'm not just pointing at him and bringing him down. I'm encouraging you to pray for a man that has this perspective. But think about us today. Do you look at the Word of God and are you in opposition to him? When you read the Bible, do you see things that are complicated? And why is that? I know that every time we sit down and read the Word of God that we should be encouraged to make a decision, to make a change. Every time the Scripture is being read, whether it's before the prayer, whether it's in the lesson, the Lord's Supper, whether you have it there in your lap, it's something that it should always be encouraging us to live a better lifestyle, and it's always healthy, and it's always fruitful. God has never told us to do anything that is bad for us. He has wanted us to live life to the fullest, and he says this is the best way to do it. There's two perspectives. Are you going to live for yourself, or are you going to be self-centered? Or you just want to do what God tells us to do? And you keep on reading. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Cannot submit to God's law? Someone with the perspective of saying that it's too much. I would rather live the life that I want to live. I'd rather live freely and do the things that please me. Yeah, the Word of God is going to look very burdensome. It's going to be a challenging life if you have that kind of perspective. But if you have the simple mindset, and you see God has always encouraged us, and Jesus through his mouth says, become like children. Be innocent. God, I just want to do what you want me to do. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to go against it. I just want to do what you want me to do. If the Scriptures say it, why don't we do it? But you see people come in and maybe people leave the church because the preacher preached against something that was in their life. Or maybe they have a disagreement with a friend because they just presented the Scriptures to them. And there's a lot of different topics we could cover. And you see so many different debates, whether religious or just earthly, along with morals and values, about different things in life. And are we being in opposition to God? Are we challenging the Word of God and saying, no, that's really not what He meant? But yet you see somebody like Melanie that just says, oh, it was simple. I just read the Scriptures and it told me exactly what to do. There's no getting around it. There's great examples. There's exact wording of what I need to do. Yet somebody could look at it in a different way and say, that's too many rules. That's too much. I just don't want to live that kind of life. Verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I wish I could share with you the whole conversation I had with each one of them in their perspective, because some of the things that somebody that has their mind set on the flesh, the Bible's too much. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want to have a part of it. And he was just in opposition to it, but yet a simple mindset can say, I just want to do what God wants me to do. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, we shared this in our Bible class this morning with the college group. I just have a lot on my mind, so like I said, I'm just sharing Scriptures with you. Matthew chapter 7, familiar verse to us, starting in verse 21. It's kind of the invitation to the Sermon on the Mount. It's the ending part that as Jesus is going through and he's looking at each one of these things and trying to help the people there to know what they need to do, he comes to the end of it and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He says, it's not just by lip service. It's not just saying that I'm a Christian or I go to church or, you know, I did this or I did that. He says, you got to have the true actions. You got to have the mindset to do the will of God. If that is your goal, then you have all of eternity waiting for you. If you have the simple mindset of, I want to do the will of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading verse 15. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The days, the times, a lot of people in this world they're encouraging evil things. And that's why we have a challenge set before us. To go and talk to as many people as we possibly can to present the gospel to them. You don't have to go on a mission trip, but that gives you a place where you can put everything to the side. You're in an area that's not familiar to you, and you can get encouraged, and you can just go straight in and deal with as many people as possible. But there's so many people around us that are living an evil life, and we need to present the gospel to them. But it's, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is God telling us to do? If you have the mindset of, I want to do whatever God will tell me, you will live a great life. There is life and there's peace in the mind that is set on the Spirit. I want to share a couple of thoughts from 1 John. I wish I could read the entire book and spend a ton of time just reading the Scriptures, but I'm just going to bounce through real quick and just show you a couple of thoughts that John was trying to tell the people here. His entire argument all the way through was how to accomplish all these things in your life. And so I'm going to bounce through real quick just the book of 1 John and take the concepts that he's showing here and showing multiple verses about how to have a better life like this. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 and go through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we've seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which you have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John always starts off his book. You go back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, you see chapter 1, and he talks about these same kind of things. He says, Jesus was in the beginning. Think about Jesus, all the things that he has accomplished, all the things that he came to do, the things that he is and what he is doing. He says, it's all in Christ. And he said, I want to remind you of that. And he said, you were there. Some of you were present. He says, I was there. You know these teachings, but I just want to reiterate it some more. I wish that we would have been there to hear the words of Christ or just of John, but we have them written down here, and let's take the things that he was right there with God, listening to all these words, and let's take the things he's presenting to us. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, in him is no darkness. If you want to serve God, you make sure that you're walking in light, constantly doing the will of God. And he goes through there and he says, where are you living with this? Are you following these things? You go to chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our righteous. Says, you know, look where you're living in your life. Are you trying to serve God? Walk in the light, or are you walking in darkness? If you see that you're walking in life but yet drift away and start going to the evil side, start doing things of this world like Isaiah, and he says, you know, I got caught up in things of the world, and he says, but I'm coming back to God. I'm ready for the light. I've been in the darkness. I don't want it anymore. He says, if you have seen yourself drift away, don't worry. You've got Jesus. He's the advocate. He speaks on our behalf. If we are covered in his blood, we can stand before God free. 1 John 2:7, beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He says, how are you treating one another? Are you really taking the word of God into yourself? He says, if you know, don't just stand there and say, Lord, Lord, did I not do this or that? If you need to be doing the will of God. And he has called us to take in his word and put it in our lives. Not just simply read it and say, oh, that was a great lesson, good job, and walk away. But to start doing these things. He says, are you doing the will of God? And he goes through and he talks about the evil people are coming in and they're leading more and more people away. And you get to chapter 2, verse 26. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true, it's no lie. Just as it is taught to you, abide in him. Says, go to God. If you find yourself in God, if you are constantly doing the will of God, everything will be okay. You don't have to worry about people of this world. You don't have to worry about evil. You can focus on God. 3, verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Who do you know tonight? Do you know Christ? Are you doing the things that Christ has told us to do? Are you trying to live a life free of sin and not be brought down with things of this world? Who are you serving? Are you serving yourself, or are you serving God? Are you in opposition to God? Are you hostile towards him because you would rather do your own things? Would you rather do the will of God? Chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Verse 19, by this we shall know that we are the truth, and reassure our hearts before him, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases. Do you see God on your side? You know, we sing the song about our prayers are cold, our heart is hard. Is that your life? A lot of times, I myself have sat in worship knowing that my prayers weren't going anywhere, that my sin was pretty much blocking them, stopping them, because I was living among the flesh and not pleasing God. And how is your heart? What's going through your heart right now? Are you having a problem with God? Are you in opposition to him? Do you see yourself combating against the word of God? Are you just allowing him to speak to you and just freely doing his will and whatever he tells you? When you go to chapter 4, he says, you know, look around to what is around you. Look at everything. Test it. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. It's all wrapped up in the concept of love, is that Jesus loved God so much that he was willing to come to this world, overcome it, go through all the pain, and take sin on himself because he loved us. Are we willing to put sin to the side, follow Christ all the way to the point of death, so that we can love God more and do his commandments and be in heaven with him one day? Come to chapter 5, and I'll finish with a couple of more verses. Verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes except for the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Simple question. Is the word of God too burdensome for you? Are you in opposition to God? Is it too much of a challenge? Are you saying, God, I don't want to do these things. I would rather live for myself. If you look through John, he's trying to remind us. He says, remember where you've come from. Remember the kind of life that you live. Remember you have Christ. Don't be part of this world. Don't let people bring you down. It's all because of love. God loved you so much. Are you loving him back? Are you having that relationship with him? Because if you truly love God, it will never be a challenge. It'll be a joy, and you'll have life and peace. I start off by showing you two different people. One that was simple enough to say, I just want to do what God tells me to do. If I need to be baptized, if I need to get away from sin, I'll do it. Yet there was another one that said, I don't want to have a part of that. God, it's too challenging, and he's put me in a box because I'd rather live for myself. What life are you living tonight? Is God too much of a burden for you because you'd rather live for yourself? If that's too much of a challenge and you need some help, there's a ton of people in this room that have overcome a lot of different sins and a lot of different struggles, and we are willing to talk to you and help you through any situation. And you don't have to just walk up front. You can come find some of us and say, I just need some encouragement. I need some strength. Study with me. Pray with me. You have that decision to make tonight. Maybe you want to start it off. Maybe you want to be part of the body of Christ and just simply obey the will of God and follow Jesus to the point of death and in the watery grave of baptism and be united with him so that you can rise in the newness of life. And when this world is over, you can be in heaven with God. If you need any kind of help, we're here for you. We just need to know what's on your mind. Come as we stand, as we sing.